Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Let me start with an uncomfortable truth. For many people, actually doing a podcast is a lot harder than it seems. A few months ago, Riverside.fm, a major podcast platform, published an article that said 90% of podcasts don't get past episode 3. And of the few that continue, another 90% will quit after 20 episodes. Now, here at Copywriters Podcast, we understand this, but to be honest, we just haven't done a lot ourselves to solve this particular problem. Not our jam. But our special guest today, Dumi Mabena, has done a lot to help podcasters at all levels of skill and experience. His own podcast is called Zimbabwean Voices, and he's based in Washington, D.C. Dumi knows, as Nathan and I do, that the effective use of personal stories is key to making a podcast work. And today he's going to talk about the enormous impact of everyday stories as they affect sales. Dumi has founded businesses in multiple niches, including solar energy, student housing, and he's also the author of the children's book, Tuku's Dream. As for his work supporting other podcasters, Dumi and his business partner really tie the two things together pretty neatly with a headline on his website. We simplify editing so you can focus on storytelling. So let's focus on the storytelling part first, because while a lot of people want to start a podcast, everybody needs to tell better stories. And Dumi has some amazing and extremely practical insights on how you can use everyday personal stories to have a massive positive impact on your sales. Why? One of the reasons is the tremendous connection and engagement these kind of stories create between you and your listeners. Plus, and I've struggled for days to figure out how to connect all of that to this, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Dumi, welcome, and thank you for being here.
David, thank you for having me. I'm incredibly honored, and I can't wait to share a few insights that I've generated over the years, and it's a privilege. So thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So, yeah, I mean, let's talk about personal stories. You know, one of the things that really fascinated me and struck true, and I realized this was a gap in my own knowledge and skill set, is there are plenty of personal stories that don't really sell the product or sell the service at all, and yet contribute to the sales mightily. So do you want to talk about that and give us some examples?
Yeah, totally. What I might start off by doing is just take a step a little bit back and tell you about even how I got into my fascination with stories and storytelling to begin with.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, just then I'll kind of touch on, I guess, the business part about it. But so I come from Zimbabwe, which, as you mentioned so eloquently in your generous introduction, and Zimbabwe is a really wonderful country. It's a country in Southern Africa, warm, friendly people. But unfortunately, for a long period of time, the government would ban freedom of expression in the media. So what would often happen was we grew up with one television channel that was local and was very policed. And if you wanted to get access to different content, it was typically American, British, or other African countries. And I thought, we just thought that was normal, I guess. But over time, you realized I had this really deep thirst and craving for local stories. And I've lived in five other countries. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now. And the more I moved away from home, I had this really strange thirst for stories about where I come from. And then I realized, man, it was because of technology. Now, of course, technology is everywhere. We're all on YouTube and podcasts. But I think podcasts, for me, became a really interesting platform for storytelling because it was decentralized. So I had my own podcast where I would interview people just for the sake of telling positive stories about my community. And it was really for me. It was really a thing I'll do for me. And the beautiful thing about what you do and what many people do is part with through the podcasting medium is you can hear stories, but then also share them with the world. So I developed this deep fascination about the power of a story, a power of a story to build trust, to connect with an audience, to fulfill oneself. You know, and as I got to have my own podcast and grew it, we would do so many things with this audience that we've built. We send kids to school through money that we raised. And it was all these different initiatives all through the power of story. So I'm still studying story. I'm still trying to understand it. But I think then to get to the essence of your question, stories, I think, really help bring meaning. But deeper than that, they help build trust. And when you can build trust and connect with people, really beautiful things can come out of that, whether that's doing a fundraiser, selling product or selling sales for whatever it is that you might be, having a meaningful narrative behind that thing that you're trying to sell or promote becomes a lot easier because then you're pulling as opposed to pushing. So that's kind of my story, my journey into storytelling, and I can kind of delve a little bit more deep into that as we get along. So,
yeah, that's wonderful. I love what you're saying, and I am especially focused on the trust building thing. I mean, it just sounds like a, you know, if you're not thinking about it much, it could sound like a technical advantage of stories, you know, mm-hmm. like a standard benefit. But these days, trust is at such an all-time low in so many areas of our life, so many sectors of our world. And anything you can do to build it is going to help not only in sales, but in just in, you know, getting things done and even getting people to talk with you, things like that. So that's great. You have some categories of stories you were going to talk about. Would you like to jump into that?
Yes, totally. I think before we came on the conversation, of course, you were very generous in asking me a range of different questions or categories I could speak with. But I thought I was thinking, what is the most effective, I guess, thing I can leave the audience with? And I think more importantly, I think as opposed to going to categories, I've shifted a little bit to just to, with other people, it's just speaking from your experiences. So, for example, we all live these different illustrative lives, etc., and we've all gone through something. When I started, of course, this podcast, I spoke from my experience and how I got into a particular story, why I love stories, why I think stories are very incredibly powerful. Off the back of that, there might be someone who's listening to that who is like, you know, there's always a story I've been willing to tell about something. Off the back of that, they might be willing to then reach out to me for whatever the thing might be. So I guess in my day job, I help many different people. What I typically will sit with them and I'll say, hey, I met a gentleman called Derek the other day who sells credit. He sells credit loans to people. And I'll sit down with a person like Derek. I'll be like, Derek, let's get to the essence behind why you even got into, you know, wanting to sell credit. And then Derek will typically go on like this long narrative about, you know, when he was a kid, a loan really helped unlock so much value for his family because they went through a difficult, hard time. And then having that financing really helped inspire him to get into wanting to help other people and so on and so forth. So I guess the thing I'm trying to say is with many people who have a story to tell or want to help other people do the same thing, it's trying to unpack particular moments of pain, hardship, or joy, and getting the threads from those particular stories, and then figuring, interesting, there's something that I can use here. Then speaking from that point of emotion and truth, and from that point of emotion and truth, you can then figure out, okay, how best can I express this through what vehicle, whether that's through written format, video, audio, etc. So I guess always the golden thread is speak from your experiences, speak from truth, and that's where the trust is built when you're speaking from that place. And that's, I guess...
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, everybody's worried about AI, and we talk about AI a lot on this show, and I'm actually very enthusiastic about using it for certain things and completely disgusted with the idea of using it for other things. But one of the things AI will never have is experiences, human experiences, because it's ones and zeros. It doesn't you know, walk down the street, go into bars, get married, get divorced. You know, have children. It doesn't. It's not what it does. The other thing about that is, I can't remember who it was who said that the description of consciousness is, it means you can suffer. That when you suffer, that indicates consciousness. I thought that's interesting. And what you're talking about, you know, these stories where people talk about the pain and the hardship that they went through, that's suffering. That's something we can really know about as humans and share with others and build trust that way. That's not necessarily something an AI or a formula or a totally fabricated story not based on experience is going to do.
Yes, totally. And I think that's in many ways the essence of all story. It's how and why life changes. It's like, a person faced a challenge, went through something, comes back to then share what they went through with that person. And technology is a phenomenal enabler. But I really think with respect to your audience, I think with all the things that are happening in the world now with AI and so on and so forth, I think I always try to tell people, look, the most powerful thing, the best art always has, it's about truth and overcoming suffering. And it doesn't have to be suffering, but joy, etc. And then the best art, in my perspective, and stories often come from those places. And those are the things, once again, that build trust and connection. Human beings often, one would think we're logical, but we're actually quite emotional creatures. And to get to your limbic system, I need to connect with you from a trust perspective, right? And if I can convey emotion, we feel that. You can literally read a book and you can start crying sometimes because someone, you can tell, wow, this person is writing from a true, authentic place. And of course, I guess the onus from a copywriting perspective and whatever medium one is engaging in is in a world where I guess content is now doubling or increasing like at a rapid rate because we have all of these tools to produce it. I think as opposed to writing from a surface level, I think we need to start writing from a deeper level that connects. And the connection, once more to the original point, comes from real experience, real authentic experience, vulnerable.
Sure. So give us another example of one of these stories.
That's a good question. So I have a lady by the name of, Dr. Jane. So Jane is she's a person who's in her, I'll say 60s, 70s, and she reached out to us. She was like, hey, I used to be a palliative care clinician in Malawi. And she lives in Leeds in the UK. And I lived there for 20 years. And I feel as though when I go online to look for content about palliative care, it feels like it's written from an academic perspective. And there's something that, and I want to write about, and I want to express what I feel to be the truth about what it actually feels like being a palliative care person in a part of the world that is maybe needs access to this particular skill set. So Jane reaches out to us and says, hey, Dumian, I just need help. There's a thing that's in my head for so long, but I don't know how to articulate. I say, well, what even got you into palliative care to begin with? Like, let's try and we always do a session with people where we sit down and we try and uncover and go underneath all of these various things. And she says, you know, when I was young, I always really wanted to help people because I saw my family go through a lot of hardship in the similar vein. And I thought, you know, I think there's a world in which I can grow up and do this. And then I want to take this skill to different parts of the world. So she goes to Malawi to do this. And built her whole career in this part of the world doing that, I think I was like, look, you have all of this rich information and you've seen people who are suffering with particular things through this particular ailment. You should write from that perspective. So now, of course, she's launched a publication and a podcast where she speaks with people about this particular thing. And now, of course, over time, she's going to get sponsorship off the back of that because of her expertise. But once more, it comes from this perspective of a person that has lived through something and has a real authoritative perspective on it rather than an academic perspective on it. And now, of course, Jane can get sponsorships from all of these people. She's selling now off the back of real expertise that she's had through real lived experience. So that's one example that I can give of some that would have helped as well.
That's a wonderful example, and I love it. And something just occurred to me. Are you getting tired of using the hero's journey in your sales copy over and over again? My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation. but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today. What do you say to people who say, well, nobody wants to hear my story, no one to be interested in it? And I often used to feel that way myself until people kept asking, especially on other podcasts, they kept asking me for my story and they did want to hear it. And I got comments about it. But what do you say to people who make that protest?
That's a really phenomenal question. I think I'm a young man still, and I have a lot of life left to live. But I think any life comes with ups and downs, and in those ups and downs, where the beauty lies. And if you've lived long enough, there's no life that has come out without some sort of ailment or challenge. And in those ups and downs, there's material there. So my pushback with people is to always say, look, everyone has a story that can inspire someone or inform someone, and inform them in the right way or the wrong way. I think, and once more, what I also say is to people, like, look, as human beings, we're driven by narrative, right? So the brain, how it's structured, information is, you guys are writers, of course, it's through the framework of a story, which is why sometimes, you know, Netflix, they do this thing where at the halfway through every series, they do a cliffhanger, and then they cut this, and I'm like, oh, and the brain, like, you can't help, but want to go on to the next. No, yes, because your brain is literally wired to know. It's like, where's the sequel? So yeah. With everyone who says that, I always say, look, if you've lived long enough to have experiences, gone through pain, hardship, joy, and lived life, you have something to share that is important to someone out there. In my particular case, I used to have the same thing. I don't think anyone wants to listen to me. And then when I had my own podcast and wrote children's books, it would be really shocking to me when someone in Turkey would be like, oh, can I make an order? And I'll be so confused about, like, wait, what? Yeah, you're interested in stuff that I have to share. And you look on the analytics to be like, wow, someone in India is listening to this. Why would someone in India listen to this thing that we've made? So once you have the data to show that people actually have demand for something, a perspective that you have, it kind of also then gives you more encouragement. But I've gone through that process. So for people who don't, I'd say take a chance of themselves. There's always a story that can help someone out in the world. And then, of course, once you can connect with somebody, there are many beautiful things that can come beyond that connection. There could be sales, there could be marketing, it could be something, but the story helps build the trust and the connection, and it's worth telling.
That's great advice. And anyone who doubts the world would be interested in their story, as I once did, should hear what you just said. You have a story about a podcaster and a thank you note that I think is wonderful. Could you share that one?
Say that one more time, just so I hit your, just one more time, sorry, David, the thank you note story?
Yeah. You have a story about a podcaster who received a thank you note, and could you tell that story?
Yeah, so what's quite fascinating I have many stories like this, but there's so many people who, like we talked about it earlier when the episode started, that a lot of people start a thing, as particularly in the podcast medium, they start a podcast and they quickly stop. And the fascinating thing is, the more you help people, the thing that actually people care about isn't actually always the numbers in the beginning, like how many people listen to it. The thing that actually gets people going is what I listen to. So I have this fundamental belief that as human beings, we walk the earth asking, I guess, three questions. Like we're all trying to answer three questions for ourselves. And it's, do you hear me? Do you see me? Do I matter? Those are like the three questions we're all, and we go through all sorts of things. Do you hear me? Do you see me? Do I matter? And we go through all things. We do so much just trying to answer these questions. We might buy a Mercedes, or we might buy a big house, and it's all too bad. Do you see me? Do you see me? Or we might start a podcast. Oh, do you hear me? Or I might buy this lady. You know, we go through all of these things and go to all these, we buy the latest phone just to be seen, heard, and validated that we matter, right? And the more I guess I help people, it's like this comes up a lot. So in my particular line of work, I often have stories where people will start a podcast and then they're like, I don't know, this is really worth it, man. This is kind of, I don't know if my story is worth any time. I don't know if anyone will listen at all. And often, like a lot of my job is just being a validator, just emotional support. And in this one particular case, I have a friend, Marissa, and you know, who've been making a podcast for a while. And then after a while, She's like, you know, I think I'm giving up. I don't know if this is really worth my time. And the thing that would, that kind of got her through it was like, you know, she would get like a note from a person who was like, hey, you know, I'm going through, I have many stories like this, but the one I can remember, Marissa is like, this lady would message her and say, hey, I'm going through medical school and I have really long, grueling hours. When I listen to your story and this, and you and your friend having conversation, it makes life just a little bit more bearable as a frontline worker during the pandemic. So you can imagine you and your friend are talking somewhere, and then someone across the world is a frontline worker in the pandemic, and they send that message to you who's telling your particular story. And that gave another energy boost to do a lot more, 20 or so more episodes. And there's so many stories like that that I have, but it goes back to the original thing which I was saying, which is people want to be heard, seen. In fact, one of the things that I, you know, in one of the local languages where I come from, the greeting for hello is Sawubona, which means I see you. It's literally the direct translation. We don't say hello, it's Sawubona, I see you. Oh. So we want to be heard and validated. And that's just one example of when someone was heard through a thank you note, etc.
Speaking of podcasts, from what I've read, and please, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I read, when you first started doing Zimbabwean voices, you loved doing the podcast part, but the technical part was kind of driving you crazy. And that led to something in a relationship you have, a friend, partner, business partner, and that led to your company.
Right.
Shanda Studio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. I think part of my mission now is like, okay, people have stories to tell. And often I'm not a particularly technical person. I like simple things to use. I love when things are complicated. It really bothers me because I think they should be seamless. So when I started learning, I respect people who are engineers and who really get into the nuts and bolts of things. But for me, I was learning. I wanted just to tell a story and do that efficiently. But the technical post production part for a person with another. With just a basic podcast was kind of difficult. So I had a manufacturing background. I said, oh, man, if I could streamline production for myself, what would that look like? And I went to graduate school. I was really thinking about this problem because I wanted to keep telling my stories, but I didn't have time and editing was technical for me. So I got into this really deep rabbit hole about finding a solution to a problem that I was facing just to tell more stories in a way that was easy for me. And then, you know, my friend Paul, who is more technical than I am, we partnered together and we built Shanda Studio to streamline, I guess, and it keeps evolving, but to streamline the post-production part, which is typically the most difficult part, to make the editing and post-production a lot simpler for people who want to tell a story. And we're always working on getting that better, but that's basically what we've built and what we make now. For people that want to have something they think needs to be heard, and they come to us each day, and we always do our best to help them.
That's really good. Nathan, what are your thoughts? You're the reason I'm in podcasting. And
I would say that hits home for me because definitely the editing is the least fun part of podcasting. Getting to meet people, getting to share stories with each other and with the audience, that's what really lights up podcasters. All of the great guests that we've had on the show, the stories that they've brought to our listeners, to us, but then going through afterwards and actually turning it into something that is polished and made available for the listeners, that's the least sexy part of the whole gig. And I love every time that there's a tool that comes out that helps make that part easier and less friction, I'm all about it.
Got you. And maybe we're striving to make it fun. And that's always the goal. And that's a challenging goal, but that's the intent. Not just making it less frictionless, but the goal is, can we make it fun? And that's something we work really hard to do. But, you know, we'll get there. But yeah, if people want to reach out to us, they can definitely do so.
Where can people go if they want to learn more about your tool?
Yes, they can go to www.shanda.studio, spelled shanda.studio, and they can find out, or they can reach out to me directly on LinkedIn at Dumi, spelled D-U-M-I, Mabena, M-A-B-H-E-N-A.
Awesome. Yeah, that's how we met on LinkedIn.
We'll make sure to link that in the show notes for this episode over at copywriterspodcast.com. No. One last question that I had before we're out of here, because I know a lot of the listeners and a lot of the guests of the show are also podcasters themselves, are also trying to get into podcasting. If you had one piece of advice for a brand new, specifically like a business owner trying to get their story out through podcasts, to get past that 3-episode brick wall that most people run into, what would you tell them?
That's a phenomenal question, Nathan. I would tell them 2 things. I would say, first and foremost, every business has a story that is worth telling and has many characters and ups and downs, and all of those things are important to tell an audience. That's for the first perspective. It's your business story is worth telling and there are things to be shared. The second thing is, I think now it's a bit more mechanical. It's, I would say, a lot of businesses use things like Zoom or certain basic tools already. Like, you're recording stuff already on meetings. You're using the stuff. I think the main thing becomes like setting a goal to be like, hey, we have stories to tell. Maybe we just set a goal of like, let's say we're doing 10. We can just do the recordings. We have a recording, and then they can come to us and we'll help them turn those recordings into something more. And that would be the second thing I would say.
Okay. All right. One more time, if people want to go check out your website, where's the best place to go?
It's www.shanda.studio. Shanda spelled S-H-A-N-D-A.studio.
Awesome. Yep. And thanks again so much for coming on. Copywriterspodcast.com. We'll have the show notes there. While you're there, make sure to subscribe and check out the other 400+ episodes. We did not get stuck at episode 3, fortunately. Until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.